forever, not my words or my thoughts, but your words and your thoughts and your desire for our lives, may we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many people have been watching A World on Fire, or The World on Fire. If you haven't seen it, then can I encourage you to watch it? The concluding episode of this series is tonight at 9 o'clock. And it's been a fantastic drama series on BBC One. And it tells the story of different characters in the early days of the Second World War. And this has, for me, been one of the outstanding dramas that I have seen in recent years on the BBC. Because it's not afraid to show the horror and the violence of war and how the war impacted different people in different ways. One of the really interesting things, particularly for me, being married to a Pole, is that it shows what the Poles went through during the Second World War and the brutal Nazi regime they lived under. It shows what it was like for families to be torn apart. It shows the persecution not only of the Jews, but also other minority groups as well, such as people of colour and homosexuals. It also reminds us that ordinary Germans were themselves victims of the Nazi regime. It shows how German children with disabilities and illnesses, such as epilepsy, were taken from their families and experimented on and euthanized, killed. It also shows the impact of what happened to families left behind, that desperate wait to hear if loved ones were okay. And it also shows the difficulties refugees face when they came to this country, sometimes treated with suspicion and fear. And it shows what happened to those who were pacifists during the Second World War and how they were treated, and the impact soldiers had coming back from the fighting, some of them profoundly affected by shell shock. So it's a really powerful drama series, so do watch it if you haven't had chance to. Now, fortunately for us here, very few of us will actually have direct experience of living through a time of war. And that's why dramas such as The World on Fire are so important. It's a reminder to us, particularly of that generation that lived during the Second World War, of what they had to face in order to secure the peace and the freedom that we enjoy today. George Santayana was a Spanish philosopher, essayist, poet, and novelist. And he said these famous words, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And remembering the lessons from the past are as important today as they have ever been. I don't know how many of you are watching the TV show The Apprentice at the moment, but last week, some of the candidates who are hoping to become Lord Sugar's next business partners, they didn't actually know what year the Second World War started on. And they didn't know how long the Second World War had lasted for. These are people in their 20s and 30s. And on Good Morning Britain last week, there was a 22-year-old Instagram influencer. So that's someone who has a very large following on social media. Someone called Freddie Bentley, who I have to admit I've never heard of. But he said on Good Morning Britain that children should learn less about the Second World War because, and I quote, "it's too intense." Now, there is also some really worrying statistics to show that there is a growing ignorance also about some of the things that happened during the Second World War, in particular, the Holocaust. So there was a survey done last year in the United States of America, and it showed that 66% of millennials, that's someone born between 1982 and 2004, could not identify what the Auschwitz concentration camp was. 66% of millennials in America could not identify what the Auschwitz concentration camp was. And there was a recent CNN poll in Europe that showed that about a third of the 7,000 European respondents across seven countries that they interviewed knew just a little or nothing at all about the Holocaust. And apparently in France, 20% of young adults between the ages of 18 and 34, so one in five young adults in France say they have never heard about the Holocaust. One in five. Now, if that does not trouble and disturb you, then I would be concerned, because these statistics should concern us all. It's not only that some of the sacrifices made during the Second World War, and particularly the horrors of the Holocaust, are fading from memory. It's that the lessons that humanity needs to learn from those terrible events and those terrible chapters in human history are being lost as well. And we can see the consequences of that all around us. So, for example, 90% of European Jews say that they believe anti-Semitism has increased over the last 5 years. And more than one in three Jews who live in Europe today are planning to emigrate because of anti-Semitism. Now, the European Union, or the foundation of the European Union, what preceded the European Union, was established in order to build bridges between the various European neighbours and in order to prevent another conflict like the Second World War. Now, whatever your political views of the EU might be, and I'm not arguing for or against the EU, it is undeniable that in Europe we have had an unprecedented period of peace over the last 70 years of history. But as Pope Francis said in a recent speech earlier this year, the peace that we have enjoyed over these last 70 years could be under threat. We are seeing a worrying rise in nationalism across the world, similar to what was witnessed prior to the Second World War. And we are seeing an increase in support of far-right extremist groups across Europe in other parts of the world. So as Christians, what should our response be to all of this? Well, from our reading today from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we learn that we are called to be peacemakers. Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So as the people of God, we are called to work for peace and to pray for peace. So what might that actually look like in practice? Well, the answer is that we need to build bridges, not walls. Because walls are designed to separate people. They're designed to keep people out, whereas bridges are designed to bring people together. So I just want to think about some of the walls that still exist, literal walls that still exist in the world today. For example, if you were to visit Belfast, you would see the Peace Wall that separates Protestant from Catholic communities. That Peace Wall is still there because it is still believed to be needed, because Protestants and Catholics in Belfast still live largely segregated lives. Or you have the Israeli West Bank Wall, which Israel calls a security barrier to prevent terrorist attacks in Israel, but which has effectively cut off Palestinian communities from one another. In places, it's prevented people from reaching their pasture lands that they have farmed for hundreds of years. And probably one of the greatest symbols of a wall and a divided Europe following the Second World War was the construction in the 1960s of the Berlin Wall. And as I'm sure you're all aware, yesterday marked the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall on the 9th of November 1989. So walls separate people, they divide people from one another, whereas bridges bring people together. The Neretva River divides the city of Mostar in Bosnia in two. On one side of the river, in one part of the city, lives a largely Christian Croat community. And on the other side of the river is a largely Muslim Bosniak community. And what links these two communities is the Mostar Bridge. Now, as I'm sure you probably all remember, in 1993, during the Bosnian War, that bridge was destroyed. But it was later rebuilt in 2004, becoming a powerful symbol of hope about the reunification of the city, but more importantly, about the bringing together of these two communities, the Christians and the Muslims. And that's a picture of the bridge and muster today. And as Christians, we are called to follow the example of Jesus, who is the ultimate peacemaker. Because Jesus was not afraid to break down the barriers that separated people, including the barriers of culture, religion, ethnicity, sex, gender, and age. He did this even though it got him into lots of trouble, and he faced lots of accusations of eating with tax collectors and sinners and so forth. But the greatest barrier of all that Jesus broke was the barrier of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, we're told that the veil that separated the Holy of Holies in the temple from the rest of the temple complex, the place that represented where the presence and dwelling place of God existed in the Holy of Holies, that veil was torn in two. And that veil symbolized the barrier that lay between humanity and God. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn in two, this veil that was over 30 feet high, sewn diagonally, torn in two. And it was a symbol of how that barrier that separated us from God had been removed by Christ's death on the cross, so that we can now have direct access to God through Jesus. So as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers. And to be a peacemaker means to tear down the barriers that divide and to build bridges. There's that quote there from Justin Welby. The church is called to proclaim the good news that in Jesus Christ, God has taken the steps that break down every single possible barrier between us. And if we go to the next slide, it says here, nothing breaks down barriers and preconceived ideas about Christians and Christianity more than when we treat people the way Jesus treated his enemies. So as peacemakers, we're called to tear down the barriers that we can build that separate people one from another. And instead, we're called to build bridges. Because when we hide behind our walls, it's easier to portray people the other side of those walls as the other, different from us. It's easy to paint a picture in our minds as to what these people are like. But Jesus calls us to reach beyond our comfort zone, to break down those walls, and to reach out to those people who are different to us, to cross those barriers of culture and ethnicity and religion and age and gender and sexuality and so forth, to reach out to the other. Because when we reach out to the other, we often discover that we have so much more in common with them than we realized. And as we get to know them through speaking to them, learning about them, we discover that there is so much more that unites than divides. For example, in Israel, there is a community called Neve Shalom, or the Oasis of Peace. And this is a community where 25 Jewish and 25 Palestinian families live together in community in order to develop common trust, understanding, and respect. Now, apparently, this community has been nominated 5 times for the Nobel Peace Prize for the work that they are doing in Israel. And one of the members of that community says this about peace. He said, "Peace starts from little steps, from talking with each other and sharing with each other." So when you think of the person who is different to you or the community that's different to you and you reach out to them and start to get to know them, then you start to build peace. You start to realize that there are many areas that you have in common. Before we moved back up to Cumbria, my family spent 12 years in the Midlands, and we lived in a community that was very ethnically diverse. We had a lot of Hindus and Sikhs and Muslims living within our community. And we found that as we got to know these people of other religious backgrounds and from different parts of the world, we found that actually we shared a lot in common with one another. I remember one occasion where a church in Walsall arranged for a meeting in the local mosque. And in this meeting, the pastor of this church, it was an evangelical church, talked about the Christian understanding of family. And then the imam of the mosque would talk about the Muslim understanding of family. And it was just a wonderful way of breaking down those barriers, getting to know one another, actually discovering that we shared a lot in common and forming friendships. Another example of people breaking down barriers is in Northern Ireland. As I mentioned, if you go to Northern Ireland, particularly parts of Northern Ireland, there is still a great deal of segregation between the Protestant and the Catholic communities. And in Derry, or Londonderry, there is a scheme called Street Talk, which is run by the Playhouse. And Street Talk brings together young people from the Protestant and the Catholic community. And using art as a way of drawing people together, it's helping break down those barriers that divide. And I watched a clip of this on a documentary recently, and it's really interesting listening to the young people talking, because in their communities, you know, they wouldn't go down certain streets because that was the street where the Protestants lived and they were Catholic, or that was where the Catholics lived and they were Protestant. And they wouldn't go into each other's communities. But through Street Talk, they don't see those labels anymore. They just see one another as young people with a shared common interest. And Street Talk is doing amazing work in Northern Ireland in breaking down those walls, in building bridges. So as God's people, we're called to commit ourselves to the task of peace in our church family, in our community, in our homes, amongst our family and friends, our neighbours, and the world at large. And true peace lies in love. We need to remember and take seriously Jesus' command to love one another. Mother Teresa said this: "Not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. And when we do things with great love, it helps break down those barriers, it helps build bridges, it helps build for peace." And Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. He is the one who came to bind up broken hearts and relationships. And as his people, we are called to do the same. So I want to finish by saying the prayer that's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. So let's pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to loved. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen.